I'm happy to be in the truth, and I will daily lift my hand. For I will always sing of when your love came down. I could sing of your love. Oh, praise God, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Praise God.
Amen.
You're well today?
Good. Yeah.
Amen. We thank God. We thank God. Yeah, we thank God for another good morning that God has given us to know Him, to experience Him, to learn of Him. And today I wanted us to look at being in the Father. I am in the Father and the Father in me. And this will be looking at John chapter 14. And where Jesus was revealing to us the Father, and where he starts to make some very bold declarations to his disciples to show them the Father, and by that we shall be able to have an understanding, a greater understanding of God the Father by the grace of God, if he gives us the liberty, and we shall learn of that. So you're much welcome. And let's go straight away to John chapter 14, the Gospel of John chapter 14, and we're going to read up to, we'll see maybe up to 13 there, no, 15. Okay, we can start John chapter 14, and it says, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." So maybe just to put that in simpler language, it just says, amplified, classic, "Do not let your hearts be troubled, distressed, agitated. You believe and adhere to and trust in and rely on God. Believe in and adhere to and trust in and rely also on me. In my Father's house, there are many dwelling places, homes. If it were not so, I would have told you. For I am going away to prepare a place for you. And if I go and make ready a place for you, I will come back and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also." Now, yesterday we were looking at how when Moses asked to see the glory of God, to see the face, I mean, he was speaking with God face to face, because God loved Moses, God favored Moses and found grace. Moses found grace in God's sight. And that's why he told Moses, "Why are you not afraid to speak to against my servant Moses? Because to other prophets, you know, to seers, I give them dreams, I give them visions, but not so to Moses, because to Moses I speak with him plainly, face to face, as a man to his friend." And remember, we were looking at how was Moses communicating with God. At that point, he could only communicate with him through the cloud, the pillar of cloud that will come at the tabernacle, and Moses will communicate directly. And despite that, Moses asked to see God. He was like, "Show me your glory." God was like, "Well, no one can see my face and live, but there is a place I will put you. There's a place in the rock by me that when I placed you there, I will pass you by, and I will cover, I'll place my hand on you, and after I have passed by, I will proclaim my name, and then I will let my back, you will only see my back, because no one can see my face and live." And yesterday we were able to see that it is in Christ that we see the face of God. It is in Christ, because God, the one who commanded light to shine out of darkness, has shone in our hearts, revealing that face of God in Christ Jesus. And now what we are trying to correlate here is that, and we also say that Jesus is that rock that Moses was placed, that he could be able to see the backside of God. And because Christ had not yet been revealed, Christ had not yet died and resurrected, it was still not possible for Moses to have the full revelation of God. But you see, in Christ, the new creation has the full revelation of God, even though maybe in ignorance we still don't know it. But it is in Christ that epignosis, that we come to that full knowledge of who God is, and we can see him plainly. And so if we see what Christ is saying, that in my Father's house there are many places, there are many homes, there is a place that I am going to my Father's house, and I'm going to prepare a place for you. And when I prepare that place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may also be. So there is a place in God that Christ was going to prepare. I mean, and when Jesus was on the earth, he was like, it is good for me to go. Why? Because if I go, I'm going to the Father, and in my going, what I will do is I will prepare a place for you. And this is literally seen in, you know, it's like a husband, if you compare with what the husband, you know, pays dowry, or how the church, or sorry, maybe the comparison is Adam. When God was making a wife for Adam, he put him to sleep. All that is, you can see, you can point it, you can reflect it to Christ. Adam was put to sleep, into deep sleep, and it's the same thing that also Christ died. And Adam, you know, God took out a rib from his left side and closed it with flesh. And it's the same way that Jesus was pierced on the side of his rib, and, you know, blood and water came out. And in that blood and water coming forth, that was his wife being, you know, being brought forth. And that wife of Christ is the church, and that is his bride. And remember when it says, and the two shall become one flesh, in that the husband and his wife were naked and not ashamed. And, you know, for this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be united unto his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. Likewise also is in Christ, when now Christ has made us his bride, we come and we be united to him, and we become one spirit with him. So remember, the first man, Adam, is of the flesh. The last Adam, the new creation, is of the spirit. So we become one spirit with the Lord. And he that is united with the Lord becomes one spirit with him. So that is the mystery of the new creation. The mystery of the new creation is that we are made one spirit with God and one spirit with Christ. And in that union with God, by our spirits, then we are made one. And you see, that's why it says, don't you know that God's spirit dwells in you, and that you are the temple of God, you're the temple of the Holy Spirit. So anyone who goes and joins himself to a prostitute becomes one spirit with them. And I mean, even if you think about it, those that engage in sexual immorality, what they realize is that by and by they exhibit the same characteristics that person has, because sex is not just a physical action but also a spiritual union. And so you will find that there's exchange, there's spiritual, you know, joining together. And that is why you'll find that there are things that about someone that maybe you have slept with that you're still connected, in that some people will say it a soul tie, and they will call it maybe, you know, different words. But the reality is, anyone that joins himself to another, to a prostitute, becomes one spirit with him, one becomes one with them. And that's why the Bible was warning against committing immorality, and it's not just for the physical, but also trying to show us for the spirit, in that when we join ourselves to Christ, we become one spirit with him. Likewise also, when we take us away from, and we now commit our emotions, commit our hearts, we commit the desires of our hearts to wickedness, then that is why God refers to it as immorality. Idolatry is immorality. Why? Because you're already married to Christ. You're already married to God. In the spirit, you're married, you're made, you become one. Yet you still have a desire for other things. You still have a desire for, you know, for other idols. So to God, that becomes idolatry, because you lose that first love that God that unites you with Christ. And then you move on towards forming another love, which is through the desire for idols, or forming another love, or anything that takes the place of God in your heart. Anything that takes away that desire of God. It might be football, it might be music, it might be just pride, it might be your work. Anything that does not bring you to remembrance of God can easily take away that desire, that love of God, and that to God is what becomes idolatry. Now, going back to where we are, verse 4, it says, "And where I go, you know, and the way you know." So he was telling them, "I'm going to my father, and I'm going to my father's house. I'm going to prepare a place for you. That place that is prepared is in Christ." There are many places in Christ. That's why each of us is given a portion. We are one body, one spirit with him. He is our head. We are his body. And each of us is given a unique part of the gospel, a unique part of the body to perform. And that's why some are doctors, some are nurses, some are preachers, some are evangelists, some are prophets, you know, some are deacons, some are ushers. Everyone, some are in the professional field. Everyone in Christ is given a portion to fulfill. Now, when you are in Christ, then there is a part that God will give you of the gospel to fulfill. Some are just called to be teachers. Some are just called to be in full-time ministry. Others are, but those are few, because the Bible says he gave some. But the majority of people are just called to represent the kingdom of God in their spheres of influence. It can be in education, it can be in engineering, it can be in your marketplace. Whatever it is that God has called you to do, you represent Christ in that place. Why? Because people will never be able to see God or to know God unless they see God in you. The only testimony, the greatest testimony that people will have, the revelation of Christ, is when they see Christ revealed in you. That's why Paul prays that, "My dear children, for whom I am again in the pains of childbirth, until Christ is formed in you." Everything that we are doing here, everything that we are learning, the reason we are on the earth, we are, you know, taking time to pray, taking time to read the word, taking time to understand God, is that we become Christ be formed in our hearts. In the new creation, we are born again, we are born of Christ. But then there's still a formation process, there's a sanctification process, there's a being made holy. Yes, we are made the righteousness of God, we are put in right standing of God, and then we are told, "Be holy as I am holy." He says he wants us to go through that process of being made holy. And so Thomas said unto him, verse 5, John 14, we're in John 14. Thomas said unto him, "Lord, we know not where thou goest, and how can we know the way?" Jesus said unto him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me." Verse 7, "If you had known me, you should have known my Father also. And from henceforth you know him and have seen him." So what Jesus is trying to tell them, that if you had known me, you shall have known my Father. Now, Jesus was trying to tell his disciples that, look at it. You have been with me all this time. Can't you realize that I and the Father are one? And let's just continue so that you get the full understanding. Verse 8, Philip said unto him, "Lord, show us the Father, and it is sufficient for us." Philip said unto Jesus, "Lord, show us the Father. Show us the Father." Remember, Moses asked, "Show me your glory. I've been speaking to you. Show me your glory." Now, the same way the disciples of Jesus, Philip is asking, "Lord, show us the Father." The same way people in the world will be like, "Show us God." Make God come now. Reveal God to us now. And he says, Jesus said unto him, have I been so long time with you, and yet you have not known me, Philip? He that has seen me has seen the Father. Let's just put Jesus there. He that has seen Jesus has seen the Father. So Jesus is telling them, he that has seen me has seen the Father. How do you say thou that show us the Father? So Jesus was surprised with Philip. He's like, what is it that you mean that I should show you the Father? Don't you realize that he that has been with me has seen the Father? He that has been with Christ, he that has walked with Christ, he that has seen Jesus has seen the Father. Verse 10. Believest thou not that I am in the Father and the Father in me? Look at the question that Jesus is asking them. I mean, all this time I've been with you, don't you believe that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Verse 11, believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very works' sake. Verse 12, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than this shall he do, because I go unto my Father. Verse 13, and whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot see, cannot receive, because it sees him not, neither knows him, but you know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Yet a little while, the world sees me no more, but you shall see me, because I live, you live also. At that day, you shall know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. He that has my commandments and keeps them, he it is that loves me. He that loves me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and I will manifest myself to him. Now, there are some quite interesting points that come out in this conversation with Jesus and his disciples. And he's telling them that, believe me, is a place of belief. This is where it is a faith action. He's telling them that, don't you realize that all this time that I have been with you, I am in the Father and the Father is in me. So you cannot ask, show me the Father. Remember when we say that Jesus, in Colossians 1:15-16, he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. When it says that, you know, that God was pleased that all the Godhead, all the fullness of the Godhead, to dwell in bodily form in Christ, in him, God was pleased. That means that God himself was walking on the earth. God himself was walking with them, and he chose to reveal himself in his fullness in Christ, in Jesus, as he was walking with them. And he's telling them that, don't you believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, that you should not even ask me to show you the Father, because when you have seen me, you have seen the Father. And he says, even if you don't believe that, at least believe in the works that I have done. And what are the works that he had done? He raised the dead before them. He gave a man, he picked mud from the ground, formed it, put it in the eye socket of a man born blind. And the man told him to go and wash, and the man saw. He spoke to the fig tree, be cursed, none shall eat from you. And he died. He walked on the water, and he came to them on the boat. Jesus was telling them, believe. If you're not going to believe in what I'm saying to you, believe at least in the very works that I have done for you, in the very works that you have seen me do. I have made the crippled walk. Remember when John the Baptist sent his disciples to ask from prison that, are you the one, or should we expect another? He was told, go and tell John the Baptist, the lame walk, the blind see, the deaf hear, the dead are raised to life, that and the gospel is preached to the poor. He's telling them, see the works. These are not the works of a man. These are the works of the Son of God. These are the works of God himself. It is only God that can do these things. And then Jesus tells them that, if you believe in me, you shall do even greater works than I have done. That means that you can get to a place in God where you have the understanding that Christ is in me, and Christ, and that's why it says, Christ in you, the hope of glory. I in the Father, and the Father in me. This is how Jesus lived on the earth, and this is the revelation that Jesus gave us. And this is the understanding that he wants us to have if we are to do greater works. That the Father is in us, and we are in the Father. That Christ is in us, and we are in Christ. That God, he has said that, I will send you the Holy Spirit. I will send you another comfort who will come and bring of the Father and bring of Christ and bring us to you. And we will make our dwelling place in you. When we say we are the temple of God, when we say that heaven is in our heart, when we say that God lives in man, God's dwelling place has been made among men, that means that we are not only, the new creation is in God, at the same time, God is in them. And that's why Jesus was telling them, don't you realize that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? That is why if you see me, you have seen the Father. And that is why when we are told we are the body of Christ, we must understand that people must see God in us. Because we represent God. God is in us and we are in God. We worship him as our Father. It is he that has given us that license. It is he that has given us that exousia. Remember it says, to him that believed him, to them that received him, he gave them the power. That means the right, the license, the exousia to become children of God. That means we become, he welcomes us to that dwelling place where he said, Christ, I'm going to prepare a place in you, and then I will come and take you to be with me. I will take you to be in me. There is a dwelling place. There is a mansion in me. There is a place in the rock in me by which you can see God. And that is why everyone who believes in Christ and has the full knowledge of Christ and comes to the full comprehension, the full understanding of Christ, purifies himself in this thought. They know that they are made righteous. They know they carry the blessing of God. They know they carry the Spirit of God. They know they carry the presence of God. They know they are blessed of God. They know they are anointed of God. They know they heal the sick. They cast out devils. They raise the dead. Why? Because they have the Spirit of God in them, and they are in the Spirit of God. And that Spirit of God in them is the one that does the greater works. And that is why when people see us, they see Christ. And Christ has to be formed in us. The challenge is that we have as well this earthly body, which is our flesh. And the problem is every time the flesh is always in opposition to the Spirit. And that's why we are told, therefore, put to death mortify your members that are on the earth. The thing on the earth is this flesh, is this body that we have. And every time we feed it, he that sows to the spirit reaps eternal life. But he that sows to the flesh reaps destruction and corruption. So the question is, that which you feed is what which gets grows stronger. The reason you fast, the reason you pray, the reason you study the word of God is such that you can subject your flesh. You can put to death your flesh. You can have less of you and more of Christ being revealed. The reason why we react to people is because our flesh is rising. Our flesh, we have fed our flesh. Our flesh is so much elevated that we cannot forgive, you know. You know, if you find that you never say sorry, you can't even forgive someone. That is pride. That is the flesh. When someone has wronged you and you're so angered, that is the flesh rising. Yes, people will wrong us, but we must always respond, not according to the flesh, but according to the spirit. There is a place of, yes, speaking the truth, but also there's a place where we should know our limits and we should know that at this point it is well, that is enough. I mean, what I've said is enough. I shouldn't go beyond that. There's a place in Christ that he comes us to know in him that I am in the Father and the Father in me. And we have read also that, where is it, verse 20, and that day you shall know that I am in my Father and you are in me and I in you. This is a mystery of the new creation. The Father is in Christ, and Christ is in the Father, and Christ is in us. And when we have that understanding, that is why you walk somewhere and you make a difference in it. That is why you do something, you whatever you put your hands to do, it succeeds. That is why it is you that is in charge of your destiny. You're just following God's purposes. You know the mind of God. You know the mind of Christ. Why? Because you have gone to the place of the Father. Jesus has revealed the Father to us. And we now also have the responsibility to reveal the Father to the world by demonstrating Christ, Christ that is formed in us, reaching out and doing the works of God, doing the works of Christ. That's when everyone will ask, but how is this done? How is this possible? You just show them that, no, it is not by me. It is not by my human effort, but it is Christ that lives in me. Christ, God in us, in the Father, and the Father in us. I will stop there and I'll allow God to settle it. And my brother, you're welcome for any reflections as God leads you. Yeah.
No reflection from my side.
Okay, amen. Yeah, maybe you're there and you need to accept Jesus. You've never really come to this full understanding of Christ. It's just as simple as believing that Jesus Christ died for us, that he is the Son of God, and that he paid the price for our sins to make us sons of God. And anyone that puts their faith in Christ receives life. And that life of God in you makes you and teaches you, makes you righteous and teaches you the path of holiness, sanctifies you, purifies you, and continually gives birth to you as a son of God. And you walk in that awareness. And when you walk knowing that Christ is in you, then there are things that by and by you will not do, because you will not unite Christ with sin. So let us pray. Our Heavenly Father and Lord, I thank you. I honor you. I give you glory. Thank you for your word. Thank you that, Lord, you have taught us, and that we are in you. We that have believed in the Father, we are in the Father, and the Father is in us, and the whole through this is through the Holy Spirit. Thank you for the presence of God that makes the difference in our lives. And I pray that your word shall settle in us, that it shall take root, and that we shall have understanding. Forgive us where we have failed. Thank you for your guidance. Give us the power to overcome every challenge that we're facing. Them that are unwell, I speak healing over their bodies. Them that need answers, them that need breakthrough, them that need direction, that Lord release your grace over them. I honor, I adore you, and I give you glory. May your name be praised, be worshipped, and be magnified. In Jesus' mighty name we pray and believe. Amen. Amen. Have a blessed, blessed day.